fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, sitting in for Owen Schroyer, who has been all across the U.S. for the past week. However, he's not the only one making waves. Rex Jones has come out with his new show, I'm Not Bragging, and I want to show you guys a clip of that now.
Well, we're here. Gavin McInnes. This is going to be the first video on my new YouTube channel, so starting off with a bang.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Talk about your birthmarks. What's going on with those?
Ooh, dude, I have so many people ask me if I had like a head injury. I had one lady walk into like a Walmart, and she saw me and my dad walking out, and she accused him of beating me up and tried to call CPS when I was about 8 years old, coming home from a T-ball game, walking out with like a Gatorade. She physically tried to pull me away.
It looks kind of like the Twitter bird.
I hear it looks like the Dove Men logo. That's what my ex said. The Dove for Men.
You should just get a tattoo of it. Like a tattoo
on the other side? Can you imagine that kind of medical
hell? You know,
hell?
When I was 20, I went to the doctor and I said, the world's overpopulated. I want my tubes tied. And he just said, no. And then I left. And thank God he did say no, because I was too immature at 21 to understand
to make the
that
choice.
I'm going to want kids.
Dude, I do stupid stuff all the time. Imagine being 12, imagine being 10 years old and having your mom tell you that and having a bunch of people clap and applaud you and hold you up like you're this shining example. You'd get into it. You'd be like, yeah, I'm a girl.
It's macabre child
and
abuse.
It's Munchausen by proxy. The mothers enable it. The dad is a complete bitch. Like, in all the videos, she's like spread on the couch like Tony Montana in Scarface with him under one arm, him the medical disaster of like Titanic proportions.
Yeah.
And the dad is sitting over there like this.
Ugh.
It's very creepy. He sits like
maybe
Nosferatu.
The dad's gay.
Something weird's going on. No comment.
That's fascinating.
No comment. Watch it. The show, it's like her name, his name is Jazz Jennings now.
But isn't it interesting that
and
in all these cases,
it's a horror show.
We have less babies being made. Like they shatter the family, less kids. Feminism, get women blogging, get them working at HuffPo, where they won't have kids or
BuzzFeed,
will dry
salon.
Up. Everything involves not having kids, becoming sterilized. Now, I saw a big billboard. I think Paul Joseph Watson put it on Summit News.
And I saw that.
And it was like, the world's overpopulated. Have less kids. And, of course, it's all these little pink-faced white kids that they want stop breeding.
And even then, the agenda, what's implemented at Planned Parenthood, is the mass execution of black and brown babies. Like, four times the rate.
Stop making babies. And that's what globalists want, right? They want us to stop breeding.
It's eugenics.
To burn us to the ground.
They like to call Trump Hitler. What's really Hitlerian is killing millions of future minority lives.
Yeah.
And that's what they're all about. And they like it because they like black people, like you said, as in like an old video. Dude, I used to like binge your stuff when I was like 14, 15.
I don't blame you. It's amazing.
Back when you were on YouTube. Rebel Media? Yeah. Dude, I love that. But like you said, they like black people and brown people and pretty much any minority, except for Asians, because they're too successful. They like them as their pets.
Yeah.
And as they can use them and hold them up on a pedestal and say, look what I've done for you.
Yeah. You'll notice, too, when you see liberals around black people, they're very uncomfortable.
It's weird.
And you realize, they don't riff with the security guard.
Yeah.
Even today at court, Will Sumner was there, Mr. Hate Watch guy. And I could just tell around the two black guys who take your keys and stuff, there was no rapport there. Like, he couldn't.
There's no.
We were joking around and making jokes about guns, whatever, and we got along with him, but he doesn't have black people in his life, you can just tell. And he wants to compensate for that. So he decides, I'll be a crusader against Nazis. Not real Nazis.
No.
Doesn't look up the Aryan Brotherhood or anything. He's too scared of them.
No.
But he just finds like a Republican who said a racial epithet 13 years ago.
I mean, if you were legitimately determined to punch Nazis, you would run in, not for violence, you would run into a Planned Parenthood and attack a doctor. If you wanted to punch a Nazi.
But there's a common thread with all of this. The sex sucking for young men, the trans kids, all of this abortion, and I feel like we're drifting into.
All right, folks, that is Rex Jones. I'm Not Bragging. Find the full report at band.video. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break.
Mm-hmm.
the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I am sitting in studio for Owen Schroyer for the last day. Today is Friday the 13th, my last day in studio with you folks, but it's going to be a great last day. I have a stacked lineup for the show. We are going to be joined by Harrison Smith here in about 20 minutes, and he's going to talk to us about the UK elections that everyone has been watching so closely. My Twitter's been blowing up, and it seems very similar to the 2016 elections here in the US. So we're going to be delving in depth with Harrison Smith about that. Also, Darren McBreen and John Bowne are going to be joining me in studio at 4 p.m. and we're going to be discussing all things impeachment. Of course, as we all know, this has been at the forefront of news this week, and we're going to be hearing about it for weeks to come. So we're going to be breaking that down, getting to some of the most potent clips about impeachment this week, and they'll be in studio to break all of that down. Then we're going to be joined by Frank Kavanaugh in the third hour, where he and I are going to talk about some more fun cultural topics that I saw in the news today. Maybe get to some more of those news stories that you didn't hear about this week. But what I wanted to do in this segment before I was joined by all of my great guests is do a recap of this week. Now, I was just telling the guys in the back, this week has been a whirlwind. There has been so much news. What even happened? Of course, we know that the IG report was released. Impeachment has been at the forefront. But let's go ahead and do a synopsis in this segment and talk about everything that really happened this week. Now, I do, of course, want to start out with today's biggest news, and that is those UK elections. Now, Boris Johnson won over Jeremy Corbyn in these elections, and he stifled that global far left revolution that they were really trying to focus on over there. There is a now new conservative majority in the UK, And again, like I had just said too, it just seems so similar to everything that's been going on that went on in 2016 with our elections. That seems to be what's happening in the UK over there. Populism is rising. They're taking democracy back. I've been reading articles about how the people want to crack down on immigration. They want to crack down on the laws. They want to get out of the EU. And Boris Johnson is going to be the man to do that. So there's that new conservative majority. Not only that, but this was a historic loss for the Labour Party. The biggest loss since 1935. So again, Harrison Smith is going to join us in the next segment to break all of that down. Of course, our impeachment hearing was another big thing that happened this week. The Democrats released two articles of impeachment on President Trump. And as we know, that was obstruction. And oh my goodness, guys, I have so much news today that I'm just overwhelmed right now. Let me see if I can't find my article. Let me see if I can remember off the top of my head. So the two articles of impeachment were for obstruction and I can't even remember the other one. I know that they dropped the bribery article, though, which we went over earlier this week. So the Democrats, of course, came out with that. We've been hearing about that. And our very own Owen Schroyer went and disrupted that impeachment hearing on Monday. He disrupted Jerry Nadler's opening statements, and he really went and said what the American people have been actually thinking. Not only that, but all of these hearings have been boosting President Trump in the polls. He now has a 4-point lead in those battleground states, such as Pennsylvania, where he had a rally earlier this week. Now, our very own reporters were there on the ground covering all of that. There was a lot of great energy. Members of Antifa were there and just people who were protesting our president. But of course, as we always see, there was such great energy surrounding the president. The arena where he had his rally housed 12,500 people, and it looked packed to the brim. So of course, a lot of energy, a lot of support surrounding the president. Not only that happened this week, but the IG report was also dropped this week. And of course, the biggest bombshell that came out of that was the fact that the IG report basically admitted that the FISA warrant was based entirely on the debunked Steele dossier. And I wanted to point out this tweet because we have a story on Infowars.com. Bombshell IG Horowitz admits FISA warrant based entirely on the debunked Steele dossier. And this is an article written by Jamie White, where he basically compiled a huge list of all of the reporters, NBC reporters, New York Times, Washington Post reporters who had been reporting on the opposite, said that the FISA warrant had, that the Steele dossier had nothing to do with getting this FISA warrant. Well, that first tweet in that thread was from Washington Post reporter Shane Harris. And look at this now. This tweet is now unavailable. He had posted back in 2018. Again, as I just said, the Steele dossier has nothing to do with getting that FISA warrant. That tweet is now unavailable after all of this reporting came out. Not only that, but CNBC or MSNBC and CNN also failed to report on any of the IG hearings earlier this week. What else happened? Trump has signed a trade deal with China. He came out with this tweet this morning. We have agreed to a very large phase one deal with China. They have agreed to many structural changes and massive purchases of agricultural product, energy, and manufactured goods, plus much, much more. The 25% tariff will remain as is, 7.5% put on much of the remainder. The penalty tariff set for December 15th will not be charged because of the fact that we made the deal. We will begin negotiations on the phase two deal immediately rather than waiting until after the 2020 election. This is an amazing deal for all. Thank you. Of course, these tariff wars and this trade deal with China have been going on for quite a while, but in true fashion, President Trump does not disappoint, and they have reached a deal with that. All right, let's get into a little bit of cultural news now. As we all know, Greta Thunberg was named the Times Person of the Year, sparking a lot of outrage because a lot of people figured that the Hong Kong protesters should have been the people on the cover of that magazine this year. There were even several polls that were put out by the Today Show, by Time Magazine themselves, and the majority of people did vote. The Hong Kong protesters should be number one. They are the people who have made the most impact, who made the most change, who've brought the most awareness to what's going on their side of the world. But of course, it was given to Greta because of all of the activism she's done with climate change, because of all of the things she's done bringing light to the pollution in China and India and helping those millions of people get clean, fresh air. Just kidding, folks. None of that actually happened. All we know is that Greta Thunberg has terrible anger issues, especially when she sees President Trump. Also, Lizzo twerked at a Lakers game earlier this week, which sparked a lot of debate over, okay, is this body positivity or are we now glorifying obesity? If we have the B-roll of that, we should definitely roll it. Lizzo is a singer who, of course, talks a lot about body positivity, loving yourself, but she did go to the Lakers game in this big shirt dress with just the ass cut out. And a lot of people were upset because there was a lot of little kids there and people didn't want their child seeing that. Not only that, though, but again, we are really seeing the glorification of obesity here. I was on Twitter monitoring this just to see what the public thought of it, to see if they were more on Lizzo's side of, okay, this is great, we need to be glorifying this, or maybe we should stop glorifying obesity. And most people landed on the latter spectrum of that. All right, Trump has also signed an executive order this week. He signed that on Wednesday, defining Judaism as a nationality. Now, he did this to stifle anti-Israel protests on college campuses. And of course, more controversy with that too, because people felt that this is now going to stifle their freedom of speech to talk about Israel, to be critical of that country, which many people oftentimes are. So that happened this week as well. We didn't really cover that because there was so much other news. So I did just want to get that in. And finally, I'm going to end with the fact that YouTube changed their terms of services, prompting the hashtag YouTube is over to trend on Twitter because their terms of services are now so blurred. You can't bully people or harass them based on their race, their gender identity, based on their so many other things. So those are some of the top stories that happened this week. Lots of news. And on the other side of this short break, we'll get into a little bit more of what being a Trump supporter is like in America. And then after that, we'll be joined by Harrison Smith, who will be breaking down the UK elections with us and Boris Johnson's historic win. I'll be right back on the other side of this short break.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, welcome back. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and this is The War Room. Now, President Trump, as always, has been hot in the headlines this week. He had a rally earlier in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where we had several reporters on the ground giving you some great coverage of everything that was going on there. Of course, like I had said, lots of energy, lots of support surrounding the president, especially after these impeachment hearings this week that has only rallied up support behind the president even more and made his supporters more excited to stand behind him ahead of 2020. Not only that, but he now has a 4-point lead in those battleground states such as Pennsylvania because of all of the attacks on him. However, being a supporter of the president isn't always the easiest thing either. And this past Wednesday, this clip came out on Twitter that I didn't get to, so we're gonna go to right now.
I was really shocked that a teacher especially would do that.
16-year-old Sadie Eargood says the teacher started it by saying he didn't like the pin she was wearing.
And he's talking about the Women for Trump pin. And I said, that's fine. You don't have to like it. We can have our opinions.
Eargood says after that, he tried to take the pin from her.
And he grabbed it and he pulled. And I tried to push his hand away. And he grabbed my shoulder and just kind of put his hand there and then started pulling more and more. And I just started backing up.
Eargood says the teacher took the pin off her shirt and put it on his own upside down, stating that it belonged that way. Mason Superintendent Ronald Javitsky wouldn't speak on camera, but he gave a statement saying, quote, once we have a complete understanding of the situation, we will take appropriate action, unquote. Eargood and her mother want more.
We filed a police report after school that day, and basically the cops are going to do an investigation.
Mason Police Chief Don Hansen confirms his department is looking into a report of an alleged assault on December 5th. Sadie Eargood says she just wants people to know that she won't be silenced and will continue to show her political views.
I just want him to know it's not okay to do that. I want this to be a learning experience for other teachers, and I'm not going to stop wearing my political stuff.
So there's that, folks, a 16-year-old girl whose male teacher went and ripped a pin off of her shirt because it said Women for Trump. A 16-year-old girl. Imagine if this situation was reversed. Imagine if someone was wearing an Elizabeth Warren button and a male teacher came and tried to rip it off of a 16-year-old girl's shirt. The media would be up in arms. This would be reported on for weeks. But what happened? This came out on Wednesday, and I have not seen that much media reporting about it. It's not an international news or national news story. And why is that? Because these attacks are so normalized now. Now, again, that was back on Wednesday. This video came out yesterday of another teenager at school being attacked for supporting the president. Now, for our radio listeners, there's a young boy who's getting pummeled by one girl who is then joined by seven others, and they're just wailing on this poor kid. He's sitting there defenseless on the school bus. And according to this article, it's all because he supports the president of our United States. That's what prompted this attack. Now, his parents came out on Twitter and released a statement saying, I'm sitting in the hospital with my 14-year-old kid because he was just jumped by eight black kids on the school bus. I guess that's what happens when a kid wears a Trump hat to school. And who's the violent ones again? Earlier today, they poured milk all over his head. So let's just keep this rolling as B-roll so folks can see what a day in the life of a Trump supporter is like. I remember a little while back, too, I had retweeted a Vice video. And this reporter is at a Trump rally, and she's interviewing this nice old man, probably in his 50s or 60s. He's just wearing a Make America Great Again hat. She's just asking him, what are you doing here? What do you stand for? And of course, as always, he's politely talking to this reporter. And this guy comes up to him and just spits in his face. And the look on the reporter's face was just one of shock because she can't believe that he just got spat on for standing there with a Make America Great Again hat. In this video, this young boy isn't even wearing the hat. But again, just voicing your support for the president, this is exactly what is going to happen to you. Apparently, again, This was prompted by one girl, and then seven others jumped in. This poor young boy, all because he supported the president. Now, Owen Schroyer himself was attacked as well in New York City. He was there yesterday, and he was bullhorning in front of the New York Times, and then he was in the battle tank driving around New York City. And he was just talking to people about Trump's record economy. He was touting Trump not being a racist, President Trump, all of the accomplishments that you aren't going to hear in the media. And this is what happened. So for radio listeners as well, Owen Schroyer is driving around in that battle tank and all of these people are screaming at him and harassing him. And guys, let's just cue it up to that last 10 seconds and keep rolling it, because at that last 10 seconds, a grown man takes a glass bottle and just hurls it at Owen's head because he is out in the streets using his First Amendment right, voicing his support for the president. And of course, this isn't the first time we've seen this. Breitbart has had this for years now, since 2016. It's their rap sheet of 639 acts of media approved violence and harassment against Trump supporters. They were updating this, but I noticed that the last update was on November 5th, 2018. And that was 639 attacks. I honestly feel like they stopped updating it because there's too much to keep up with at this point. Every single day that I log into Twitter, I see a new person in a MAGA hat getting pummeled, getting attacked, getting pushed, getting bullied, getting harassed, getting called a racist. Why is that? Because this is what Democrats have allowed. This is what the left has made. We are a country now that is so divided to the point where if you wear a red hat, you will trigger people. There are literally articles out there that state that just a red hat, doesn't even have to say make America great again, but just a red hat will trigger people to the point where they get anxiety and they automatically get upset because you're wearing a red hat, because it has ties to President Trump, who the media says is a racist and a Nazi. And the media also says all of his supporters therefore are racist and Nazis. Doesn't matter if you're a Mexican Trump supporter, doesn't matter if you're a Black Trump supporter, if you're wearing the Make America Great Again hat, if you like the record economy, if you like the president for his honesty, for being a blunt person, for being a pro-life president, if you stand for those ideals and those things and you want to voice your First Amendment right in these streets of America, this is what you will meet, because this is the reality of the left. This is what they do to their opposition and people that they don't like. And we know that it's going to get worse ahead of 2020, which is why, again, we can't back down. We can't be scared. We need to all stand up together as a collective and tell people that we're not going to take this. We're not going to be bullied into silence, because that's what this is. They're trying to take away our First Amendment. They're trying to bully us out of wearing the hat. They're trying to bully us out of using our God-given right of speech to support the president of these United States. We'll be right back after this short break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I am joined in studio by Harrison Smith, one of my favorite people to talk UK politics with and just overall global politics, because I feel like you're always so well-versed in it. So,
too kind.
We had a historic election in the UK today. Jeremy Corbyn lost to Boris Johnson, and a lot of people are saying that populism is growing over there, that people are ready to get out of the EU. They want Brexit to be pushed forward. They want to take their democracy back. They want, you know, stricter laws on immigration. And everything that I've read so far just reminds me of 2016 and our elections with that. What do you make of this election? Why is it so important?
Well, it's important because, yeah, Brexit was the central issue, as it has been, of all UK politics for a long time. And I think that might have been a part of it. It's been like 3.5 years since the Brexit referendum, which, of course, was headed by Nigel Farage. And it was successful and they were supposed to get out of the EU. But 3.5 years later, here we are. They're still negotiating. And so I think part of it was people were just sick of the ongoing negotiations, the constantly pushing back, the threats of having a new referendum and putting the whole country through that. So definitely that was a part of it. But Brexit was the central issue. And you'll see a lot of people talking about, you know, just the fact that Boris Johnson himself is not particularly popular in the UK, but his popularity so dwarfs the popularity of Jeremy Corbyn that he absolutely blew him out of the water. And I think we can get a good idea of how good this news is by how badly it's being treated by the Guardian.
And I do, okay, before we get into that, I do want to just quote this. This is the Times of Israel. Apparently, Boris Johnson, he was, yeah, like you said, he was basically just described as Donald Trump was mm-hmm. described in 2016. They say that he's a buffoon, that he's just like an awful person. He's a racist. Every single label that we've seen given to Donald Trump, we are now seeing given to Boris Johnson. And Jeremy Corbyn, he had the droves of young supporters. He was backed by celebrities. Even our very own AOC mm-hmm. backed him.
Yep. Well, he is an extreme socialist, an extreme communist, essentially. And I mean, even Boris Johnson, he's technically the conservative, but his platforms are climate change and the National Health Service, which would be considered far left here. Well, they're conservative there in England. And Corbyn was just deeply unpopular. And I love that. I mean, the author of this Guardian article says, devoid of agility, charisma, and credibility, Corbyn has led Labour into the abyss. So this is the way the far left. Yes, they're in the abyss now. This is how they're treating this. This is how this is being reported. And if this doesn't remind you of Donald Trump, I don't know what will. They say, quote, the nightmare has happened. The worst of men is elected prime minister. The hardest of times lie ahead. Unfit in every way for any kind of office, Boris Johnson takes up the reins of absolute power bestowed on any leader with such a majority. So, I mean, they are treating this like the end of the world, which is something that we're a little bit used to here mm-hmm. in the States with Donald Trump. And yeah, really the best sort of symbols are, it'd be Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders, essentially. And so just like Brexit was a sort of bellwether, something that occurred before the election of Donald Trump that sort of preceded it and, you know, maybe was a hint of things to come. Well, I think we can take this to the bank as well, that if the pattern continues, 2020 will also be a blowout here in the States for the conservatives. So it's really great news as far as Brexit goes. And of course, you can look at, I don't know where the dot cam is here, but this is the markets as of this morning. And you can see a gigantic spike exactly when the results of the election were released. I mean, a noticeable, it's not a subtle bump. It is a cliff face straight up in the air, a rocket launch for the stock market. And so, and of course, this is a strictly because they know that Brexit's going to happen. It's no longer instability. There's no more instability. They know it's going to happen. In fact, Boris Johnson says he guarantees that they will be out of the EU by January 31st. So Boris Johnson has promised to deliver Brexit, guaranteed to exit to Brexit by January 31st. And at 33%, Labour has the lowest share of Parliament since 1987.
And also, Harrison, I do want to read this quote by Johnson as well, because again, it just reminded me of what's going on over here, why Trump was elected over here. He says that he's going to put an end to all of the nonsense. He's going to get Brexit done by January 31st. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. Leaving the European Union as one united kingdom, taking back control of our laws, borders, money, our trade, immigration system, delivering on the democratic mandate of the people.
Yep. Yeah, that, and that's great news. That's great news for everybody, really. And of course, we were talking backstage with some of the producers that essentially if this happens, if there's not some massive stick in the spokes before January 31st, then we'll likely see an Italian exit. We'll likely see movement towards a French exit, because basically they wanted to shut down Brexit because they wanted to show that no matter how much the will of the people desired to get out of the EU, they were not going to let that happen. And they at least weren't going to let it happen easily or you know.
I do have a question for you. So this loss is, of course, historic for the Labour Party. They haven't had a loss this big since 1935.
Right.
And just as you said, too, there's just this uprising of democracy and of the will of the people over there. Do you think that in the UK, they basically, just like in America, they got so tired of their government, this small group of people having so much power that they're finally standing up, which is why there was such a big loss for their party?
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. I also just think this guy Corbyn is just extremely unlikable. I mean, and they talk about how Boris Johnson had a, you know, something like a negative 18 on his approval rating, whereas Corbyn had a negative 40. So you had, again, two very unpopular people in general. But Corbyn was just that unpopular. And in fact, he's stepping down as leader of the Labour Party, he says, very shortly. And
now, so a lot of people as well are comparing Jeremy Corbyn to Bernie Sanders because of his socialist views.
Very much so.
Could this potentially be a future for Bernie ahead of 2020 here? Because I know a lot of people are trying to compare what happened in this election to maybe, you know, see what will happen in 2020.
Yeah. I think, like I said, the way that Brexit preceded the election of Donald Trump, I hope that we can see, you know, this election as preceding the real election of Donald Trump. So it's definitely good news. It's definitely a good sign. But just to give you some numbers. So this was their total number of MPs on the Conservative Party is 365. Labour is down to 203 with the Scottish National Party at 48. So basically the Conservatives have a complete majority, an absolute majority. So they get to decide who the prime minister is. It will be Johnson. Of course, the whole parliamentary system to me is chaotic and nonsensical and silly. And of course, now Boris Johnson has to go and genuflect to the Queen, and she will ask him to form a government in her name. So it's all very arcane and confusing. There's a picture. I actually tweeted that out on my Twitter at Off Limits News. That's those are the Labour gains that you're seeing on screen if you're a television viewer. These are the counties of the UK where Labour gained a seat. And if you're a radio listener, there's about
there's like the tiniest red speck.
Right. Yeah. There's like thousands of these hexagonal areas, and there's about four that are red, and the rest are white, meaning that's where they either did not gain or lost seats. So this has been a travesty for the Labour Party, which conversely means it's an absolute cause for celebration for the Conservative Party, which again, you know, conservative with air quotes, because they're still all about the National Health Service and all this sort of stuff. But the main thing to take away is this was all about Brexit. Brexit's going to happen January 31st. Of course, Donald Trump is already tweeting out saying, let's make a deal. Let's make something happen. Because, of course, that's the big issue is that Brexit, if Britain were to just leave outright and the UK could then saddle them with all sorts of tariffs and more or less destroy them economically. And so, luckily, the US is sort of their lifeline where
and
once they get out.
And this has been going on for 3 years as well. And
right.
Unfortunately, we're still only in phase one, and this took 3 years to get to this point. So on the other side of this break, I do want to talk to you about what are the next phases in terms of what they're going to need to do to leave the EU. Not only that, but how the left over there has been responding to Boris Johnson now being in office. Harrison Smith and Savannah Hernandez sitting in studio. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Smith and Savannah Hernandez back in studio discussing with you the UK elections that are currently rocking the world and rocking a lot of the liberals to the core that are living in the UK. There have been so many riots. People are upset about these election results. But before we get into those videos of people taking to the streets so upset, I do, Harrison, want to talk to you about the fact that this is only phase one of this Brexit exit or the Brexit. Of course, this has been going on for 3 years now, but unfortunately, just electing someone to push Brexit was only the beginning. What is the next phase for the UK leaving the EU?
You know, that's a good question. Essentially, as far as I know, if they don't get a deal with the EU, I mean, I guess maybe they'll negotiate until January 31st, but that's the date that Johnson has promised that they'll remove themselves from the UK. So essentially, all of their laws were sort of dictated by the EU, or at least a lot of them. Definitely all of their trade was sort of dictated by the EU. And so the process now will be creating trade agreements outside of the EU. So they'll be able to come to America and create a trade agreement, come to different countries and create a trade agreement, and then, of course, with the EU to create a trade agreement. And it's actually, it will actually be a lot easier for Britain because they never went in full bore on the EU. Part of the them joining the EU was, first of all, that they were able to leave the EU whenever they wanted. And that's the, I can't remember the article number, but they quote it all the time, Article 52 or something like that. And, so they're allowed to leave the EU, supposedly, and the EU's been doing all this sort of lawyer magic in order to keep them in. And so anyway, they'll and they also never went over completely to the euro. They still have their own monetary system. So it'll actually be easier for Britain to leave.
And just as a flashback for some of our viewers and then maybe some of our newer listeners too, why is it that the UK is trying to leave the EU? Why is it what has pushed them to want to leave the EU?
That's a great question. And really, if you look at it, and people, they know it's true, but they don't really say it. It really was all about immigration because the EU sets the immigration laws. And so here you are in a country as a sovereign nation, unable to say, no, we don't want to take more immigrants. The EU just could bowl them over and force them basically to take as many as they want. And if they didn't do that, then they could be punished by the EU. But really, it's about sovereignty. It's about having a say over your country rather than just literal bureaucrats in Brussels that are completely unelected deciding what your laws are. And there's all sorts of insane stuff where they don't let fishermen from the UK fish in UK waters, but Spanish fishermen are coming in. I mean, it's all nonsense. It's about sovereignty. It's about dropping the globalistic multinational systems that they have in place that completely fail in any respect to actually carry out the will of the people that they're governing in favor of just the industrial multinational sort of corporations that always seem to benefit from everything that the EU does. So it's about sovereignty. It's about saying, these are our laws. We will decide what they are. We will vote on them, and we will have our constituents, or, you know, we will be the, we will have our representatives helping us rather than helping whoever they're helping out over in Brussels.
And as we were saying on break two, not everyone feels the same about that. This was the first tweet that I saw post-election. It says, disinformation, racism, Islamophobia, and fascist rhetoric aided and amplified by the world's largest social media platform, Facebook, just swung another election. Pay attention to this one, America. I've also already seen Russian meddling.
Yes, exactly.
Happening.
Yeah, they're already talking election. About Russia. Darn it, Russia.
So not only did Russia meddle in our elections, but now the UK too. They won't stop. And I mean, we are rolling on screen for our viewers now too, or we just were. There are Antifa riots in the UK right now. There has been the Socialist Party. They've been on the street all day, really upset about these election results. And people are already planning to protest after this democratic election. And newspapers as well are already advising people how to leave the United Kingdom after right. this election loss. What does that sound similar to, Harrison?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's so typical of the left. It's just, you know, they love democracy. They love the Constitution until it gets in the way. And suddenly it's protests, just these black bloc NPC hordes on the street just destroying everything because they're angry that they didn't win the election. Well, you didn't win the election, so riot all you want. It's not going to change anything except for perhaps make people realize that they made the right decision and not giving you insane people any power. So yeah, Antifa already rioting in London as a response to the election results. And again, let me just read, this is what Johnson has promised that the conservative top priority is. It's to make this the cleanest country, the greenest on earth with our far-reaching environmental program and to become carbon neutral and to increase investments in the National Health Service, which of course there have been stories out just this week of thousands of people who have died just waiting to get to a hospital bed because of the bottlenecking of the NHS, the National Health Service. So the country is in a very painful position. I think a large part of it is just people were sick of the Brexit negotiations going on forever
right.
and were just ready to get out. Just let's get it done.
I went to London in 2016 and I studied abroad there. And that's when I first heard about Brexit. And I'm still hearing about it to this day. Yep. So this is definitely something that's been going on for a long time. And I just asked you as well, why is it that people voted in Boris Johnson? Why are they trying to leave the EU? Well, now I'm going to ask you the opposite question, Harrison. Why are these people rioting in the street? And why is it they want to stay in the EU?
Oh, well, that's a simple answer. Because they're dumb, Savannah. That's all. No, I mean,
that was a very in-depth explanation, Harrison. Thank you.
God only knows. I mean, they are puppets of this globalist technocracy. They think that there's something instinctively racist about wanting to have control of your own country. They think that the path, having a border. They think the path forward into the future is just to give up your sovereignty to some, irresponsible, unaccountable bureaucracy in a different country, and they're mad that that's not happening. I guess they consider sovereignty fascism. It makes no sense whatsoever. So I don't know. Don't ask me to get into the mind of the Antifa rioters, because I don't want to go there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, similar to here in America, how we're burning our American flag and being patriotic,
exactly,
and being a nationalist.
It's the same reasons.
Fascist.
Yeah. And these are definitely global patterns that we're seeing. And there is a reason why it's so similar here and there. It's because the same forces are at work, the same movements of populism versus this sort of elitism. And in fact, here's a couple interesting quotes here. So in the past several decades, the historical pattern has become unglued. Educated urban professionals have drifted left while the working class have tilted right, a shift that social scientists attribute to the rising importance of immigration and identity issues in European politics. In Britain, Brexit supercharged this long-running process as highly educated city dwellers tended to oppose Brexit, making them more likely to vote Labour, while rural and less educated voters tended to support it, making them more likely to vote Conservative. So again, we're just seeing the same thing in America as we're seeing in the UK. In fact, as we're seeing in France and Germany and the Netherlands and Italy, is this rising populace of the underclass, the lower class, the rural, mm-hmm. the people in the rural communities, the people who aren't so well off.
Just want some control. This week too, there was that big protest. People were driving their tractors all the way to the Capitol, and there's been traffic that happened in.
It happened in the Netherlands.
Yep.
And it happened in Germany, and it's happening in France now. And all of these are directly protesting unfair EU climate change mm-hmm. policies that are
farmers,
taxing
right.
things like nitrogen in the oil and essentially destroying the farming communities of these European countries that have been there for thousands of years and now are just being basically driven out of business by these EU policies. And so, they're furious. So again, we're seeing this all over. We're seeing this especially all over Europe. And let me just read one more quote from this. This is the 2019 election results reflected the post-Brexit realignment. Labour was absolutely devastated in its traditional working class constituencies, with the Conservatives making historic inroads, even though they're long caricatured as the parties of the rich. Or the party of the rich. The resounding Conservative victory was driven by a dramatic swing of working class support away from Labour. So that's what we're seeing. And if somebody like Bernie Sanders becomes the presidential nominee, I think we'll see that again. I think we'll see these people who are working class Democrats, when they are exposed to the policies of the socialists and how much they're going to be taxed and how much they're going to be controlled and how much say the government is going to have in their lives, you're going to see typically Democratic voters swing over to the Republicans because they don't like what they see. They want populism. They want nationalism. They want simply their government to take care of them and not pander and cater to a bunch of elites. That's all it is.
Definitely. And I think that's been a very focal topic this week, is just, people taking back their countries, having their voices heard, taking back their government, basically the power away from their government, because they're tired of being basically having these small amounts of people answering for the thousands who are being unheard right now. Folks, thank you so much, actually, Harrison Smith, for joining me.
No problem.
Folks, go to InfoWarsStore.com if you like seeing me and Harrison Smith in studio, if you like seeing Owen Schroyer in D.C., bullhorning these impeachment hearings, going and confronting all of these corrupt politicians in office here. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and buy some of our great products. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You impeach the president before I yield back.
Watching the impeachment debate is like watching a psych ward doctor argue with the institutionalized.
I took theater and drama when I was in college, one course. And I was told the first thing you have to do is have the willing suspension of disbelief.
Let me remind you of a statement that Dr. Fiona Hill made in her opening statement. And her extraordinary, powerful opening statement and credible testimony before this Congress. She said, and I quote, "If the president or anyone else impedes or subverts the national security of the United States in order to further a domestic, political, or personal interest, that is more than worthy of your attention."
The debate to formally introduce two articles of impeachment was every bit the clown show any average American came to expect after 3 years of burnout resulting from the Democrats' desperation to manufacture anything they could to oust the anti-globalist rhetoric of populist favorite President Trump, piling on more hubris and hypocrisy.
We are blessed to live in a wonderful free country. An important thing that keeps us free is the Constitution of the United States and the generations of Americans who've defended that Constitution on the battlefield, in the courts, in the Congress. The founders included the impeachment clause in the Constitution purposefully, and they gave Congress the sole authority to impeach for a reason.
Alexander Hamilton said the greatest danger of impeachment would be depriving a president of due process. The greatest danger, Hamilton said, would be if impeachment was used politically by a party that had the most votes in the House, instead of being used on the basis of guilt or innocence for specified crimes under the Constitution. And today, the Committee of Jurisdiction, after only 1 week, is marking up a bill to impeach a president for crimes that aren't specified under the Constitution by the party that has the most votes in the House and pledged to impeach him from the first day of his presidency. Today's Democrats are the founders' worst nightmare come true.
The Democrats pushed the big lie that they sat on the sidelines of history, doing the will of the founders, unaware that every soundbite will be used against them in the very near future as they revert back to their natural hatred of our founding principles and its creators.
The Constitution is a plain language set of laws that Americans for generations have adhered to and been protected by. It is a list of crimes the framers feared. And are forbidden actions not to be taken by our governors.
I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down.
Meanwhile, the Republicans laid out the Democrats' crippling damage to our system for all with eyes to see and ears to hear.
July 31st, 2016, the FBI opened the Trump-Russia investigation and spied on four American citizens associated with President Trump's campaign. They took the dossier to the FISA court, and they lied to the court 17 times.
Democrats have been resisting and looking for an excuse to impeach this president since the day he was elected. There were false charges that pro-Trump Russians had shut down the power grids in Vermont. A frivolous lawsuit was filed claiming voting machines were rigged in three states. More than 50 House Democrats boycotted President Trump's swearing-in ceremony, including the chairman of this committee. The Washington Post ran an article titled, "The Campaign to Impeach President Trump Has Begun," on January 17, 2017. Strangely enough, the article was posted at 12:19 p.m. while the inaugural ceremonies were still happening.
But the most notorious example of corruption was Burisma, who just happened to have on his board of directors Hunter Biden. And they say, you know what? That's not proper to investigate that type of conduct because his father's a politician. That's what that's about. That's the corruption. That's the abuse of power that's going on.
Last Wednesday, this committee, the committee actually charged with handling impeachment, held the first of two hearings in which we heard from exactly zero fact witnesses. On Saturday, the Democrats...
My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I am joined in studio for the next hour by John Bowne, and I am joined in studio as well by Darren McBreen, our great video editor, who is constantly making the best compilations for us.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Of course, of course. And I wanted to play this one because, you know, the media, of course, we have to listen to them all the time. And, I mean, you call them the echo chamber. Let's see an example of that.
Yeah.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
That's what an echo chamber sounds like. By the way, I didn't make that video. That was Deadspin. They made that one. Right. But I thought they really, that was a very good example of, and by the way, that was Fox News, CBS Television, and ABC. All across the board, everybody regurgitating the exact same talking points at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. They're saying the exact same thing on the same day. Yep. All across the country. It's just amazing.
Well, it's not synchronicity. It's not a coincidence. They all get their talking points, and they're all fed into the teleprompter. I used to work in local news here in Austin.
I worked for Scripps Howard, so we have a lot. Right. We've always talked about this.
So yeah. you would get a script mm-hmm. from the people upstairs, and you would have to abide by what they were saying, and you couldn't, you know, give your own opinion or, you know, your own viewpoint. So, unfortunately, they are trapped in an echo chamber. I actually feel sorry for those people.
Well, and they are being controlled by the same puppet masters that want to control you, that want to control me. They want to control all of us, and they want to control what we think. And we're going to, there goes that.
I don't know about you, McBreen, but I heard a lot of difference in thought in all of those reports. You know, I got a lot of different viewpoints. Well, I got a lot of original thought. I don't know.
And, you know, here we are. We're teleprompter free. And we have notes, you know, we've got to look at a few notes and what we're going to talk about. But these guys verbatim, word for word, the exact same things. And so we're going to take a look at a few examples of what it looks like when the mainstream media gets their marching orders. Now, this is one I put together recently, and this is another example of an echo chamber. And this is what they're trying to remind you, that President Donald Trump is not above the law. Check it out.
Is the president of the United States above the law?
No person is above the law.
No one 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 is above the law.
He's certainly not above the law.
Nobody's above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law. Not even the president of the United States.
No one is above the law. Not even the president of the United States.
This president believes he is above the law.
And no one, not even the president, should be above the law.
No one is above the law. And certainly not the president.
Oh my God.
Again, I'll repeat. No one, not even the president, is above the law.
Oh my God. Do you know what this means? We finally got him.
We have a president who believes he is above the law.
The president is not above the law.
We have a president who believes he's above the law.
He is not, as some people have tried to suggest, above the law.
The president is declaring himself above the law.
No one, not even the president of the United States, is above the law.
Donald Trump has tried to put himself above the law. And that's not how it works.
That's not how any of this works.
You are above the law.
In my view, there is nothing more dangerous than an unethical president who believes they are above the law.
The American people do not want a president who believes that he is above the law.
No one is above the law.
Nobody is above the law.
We must ensure that no one is above the law.
I mean, dear God, this guy cannot in any way be allowed to be above the law.
This is the United States of America. No one is above the law. No one.
No one. No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
President Trump and his administration are not above the law.
There is big news that just came out. It looks like Donald Trump may have broken the law.
No one is above the law.
No one, not even
the president,
is above the law.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Adjourn. Great job. breaking the law. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't think that anyone is above the law.
Except the Democrats.
Except Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And everybody else that works for the Democrats.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing to see, though. And it only took me a couple days to find all those. I could have went on probably for another 5 minutes. Basically, everybody's saying
it. Infinite compilation of them all saying that.
Well, and most people don't know that there's an entire industry that specializes in smear campaigns and character assassinations. By the way, it's a multi-billion-dollar with the B industry. Multi-billion-dollar industry. And they mainly target people. They target people, not only people, but ideas that they don't like.
Yeah.
If they don't like your ideas, what comes to mind right away is George Soros, Media Matters. Mm-hmm. And when you think of Media Matters, think of a giant anthill, and that's Media Matters. And they have all these tunnels that go to all these other anthills. And from the surface, they look separate. They look like they're unrelated. But once you go underground, you see that they're all connected and they all have a single voice. They all have a single agenda. So Media Matters would be an anthill. Then they have dropfox.com as an anthill. They have super PACs. They have academia. They've got Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. True Blue Media is an anthill. And 30 plus anthills. And they're all part of the exact same echo chamber, but they pretend like they're separate entities, but they're all one and the same.
All that money just to control your mind.
And I always see it too, especially, you know, we have sent Owen Schroyer out this week to go and bullhorn the New York Times. He's been all over America. And of course, it's always those same people on Twitter that are always following him. And then one of them picks it up. And then you see a New York Times writer that picks it up. And so you're right. You're completely right in that they're all connected. They're all watching each other. They're all following that same person to smear, in this case, Owen.
And they have the same talking points. And what happens is it starts out from Soros and it goes to Media Matters and it goes to all the other anthills. And then it goes to the mainstream news media television shows, late night comedy, which I think is their number one biggest threat or the number one. I mean, those guys are very, very powerful. And then what happens? Next thing you know, a couple days later, the average liberal on the street is repeating the same bull crap.
Screaming at you for being a Nazi because you're a Trump supporter.
Yeah, and they're repeating what they heard, the lies that they heard on television.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I think we've all seen that too when we go to these protests and all of the people are chanting the exact same thing. And it's so easy too. Every single time I go there, it's just so interesting to me to see how, you know, one person starts to say something and then all the other people who don't have their own original thought are like, oh, okay, yeah, impeach, 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 impeach.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And like we've said, it's on the outside of Trump rallies are some of the most vile, disgusting people you've ever met in your life. There's not one single American flag. They spit on you. They'll key your truck. They'll throw urine at you and whatever, this really disgusting people. Mm-hmm. But they say the propaganda works to the point where they're fanatical. They're extreme because they not only want you to disagree with what we're talking about, the pro-patriot movement, if you will. They want to be fanatical in their beliefs to shut us down. And that's why we're the biggest threat, because we're receiving a lot of flack because we always say we are always over the target.
Well, yeah. And there's a wave. There's a generational wave that's happening that's underlying this infrastructure that is being put in place by Soros and all these anthills. And as the baby boomers get older and go off, shuffle off, who's next? Generation X. Yeah. And we were taught by the greatest generation. So we're just Americans. We love this country. You want to call me a Republican or whatever name you want to label me as, you'd be very disturbed to find out actually who I truly am and who this person truly is and who she really is, because you don't know who we are.
Well, and the good news is it sucks that we're being dumbed down so bad, but the good news, and I got to give President Trump a lot of credit, he has really exposed the fake news. He really has. So I think there's a great awakening going on.
Yeah.
But we got to pat ourselves on the back too, because InfoWars is number one in spearheading this exposing the fake news movement. That's why we're such a big target. That's why they want to discredit us, and that's why they want to shut us down.
And that's why you need to go to band.video and share all of McBreen's great videos on Twitter, on Facebook.
Do
get
it.
That out. Go to band.video. His channel is one of my favorites. Don't tell anyone else, McBreen.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be right back.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
What is the one event that made this whole thing news when it's been going on for years and years and years and was never news, was never reported? What was it that made it news now? Well, first and foremost was the desire for the media to make
it. How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein?
You know the words, sing along. Everybody, all together now.
Follow the bouncing ball.
Yeah, I think when this first came out, we were listening to it all week.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah, it doesn't get
old. I know who the winner of the contest is, but I'm not going to say it. I don't think they announced it yet, but it's very good.
All right, y'all, we are back. John Bowne, Darren McBreen, and Savannah Hernandez in studio. And, of course, we had to open up that segment with the Jeffrey Epstein, You Didn't Kill Himself, music video featuring our very own John Bowne. You said on guitar?
On guitar, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's me and Jason. Yeah, background vocals.
Amazing music video. Thank you for sharing that with us. Good thinking, guys, in the back. Now, McBreen, you were telling us that you have one more clip that you want to play for us.
Sure.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about that.
This is how the propaganda machine sometimes they'll use a single image to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And they especially, you know, they love to use children to pull your heartstrings.
Or disabled people.
Yeah. And if that doesn't work, then you break down and you cry on national television.
As you should.
I can barely look. I can't look. Play the clip. I can't look.
All right,
what is the one event that made this whole thing news when it's been going on for years and years and years and was never news, was never reported? What was it that made it news now? Well, first and foremost was the desire for the media to make it a story. There is no reporting the news or discovering it, there is making the news. That's why I call this a manufactured crisis. And Boorstin's theory is that it usually happens with an image, a still photograph or a video that somebody in the media trots out and uses the image to begin shaping the emotional reaction of consumers of news.
I could sit here all day and tell you about President Trump's new zero tolerance immigration policy, the one that's leading to the separation of children from their parents at the border. And I could help you understand it by maybe quoting numbers or statistics. I could play sound bites of officials. Or I could just show you a single picture, this one, of a screaming, terrified 2-year-old little girl wearing a tiny pink jacket, no laces in her shoes, stopped at the U.S. border with her mother. She is quickly becoming the human face of Trump's new immigration policy, one he says he hates, but is refusing to change.
The heart-wrenching image of a toddler crying as her mother is being patted down by a Border Patrol agent has become a symbol of family separation by the Trump administration.
This is incredible. Trump administration officials have been sending babies and other young children.
Oh.
To at least 3
2 minutes.
Oh, can we put up the graphic of this? 3 tender age shelters in South Texas.
No,
lawyers and medical providers. Just
we're waiting for the tears.
I'm gonna have to hand this off. Sorry. That does it for us tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow. Now it is time for the last word with Lawrence O'Donnell, where he is live in Brownsville, Texas.
Honestly, McBreen, I kind of want to cry because that was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
And by the way, that little girl's father came forward and he said that she was never separated from her mother.
Lo and behold.
Never happened. Never happened. Hey, but do you think Time Magazine or Rachel Maddow, did they retract the story? I think we know the answer to that question.
Yeah. They didn't need to. Their damage was done.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you took that photo to a Trump protest, all of the protesters there would be like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly Trump's, immigration policy. That's what he's doing.
We got those gullible Americans yet again.
Same with the Obama kids in cages.
And look here in the background. Good job, guys. And that's, that was a photo op as well. And like I said, they love to pull your heartstrings and they pretend to be superheroes who are there for the will of good. They're going to, the good of man. They're going to save everybody. And of course, this is all a masquerade. This is all about open borders. And you've been out there, Savannah, with the InfoWars microphone. They get triggered as soon as they see that thing. And a lot of the rhetoric you'll hear from the liberals who yell at us and scream at us is the borders. They're like, you want to separate children at the borders? Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've never been to the border where the people at the border, mainly Mexican Americans, are saying, do something about the border, please.
Exactly, yeah. And that was what was shocking to me too, because when I went to California and Tijuana, a lot of the people were like, we don't want these migrants here in our city because there's people there that pay for their homes, pay for their safety, and then all of these migrants
are coming into to Falfurrias, on the border, and there was a mass grave, and the city, which has no money, had to fund everything and take care of these mass graves and take care of these people and all of the people going onto their land and dying, and also the home invasions and all of that, paid for by who?
And I remember when you guys went out there, because the Texas Border Patrol, that was an excellent interview. I wish we could find it on YouTube, but they took that down. But
YouTube schmootube.
But John Bound, he interviewed the Texas Border Patrol volunteers, and they were already in a panic, man, because they're like, look, we are finding Muslim prayer rugs. They found Iranian cash.
Mm-hmm.
Along with dead bodies here and there. And of course, you've got
dictionaries.
From Arabic, translation Arabic books, to English translation. So it's not just the Mexicans invading America, illegal Mexicans. They come from all over.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are direct threats. They come from terrorist countries.
Right. And I don't know if you saw earlier this week, but there's a huge surge in African migrants at the border now.
Yep.
Not only that, but we sent reporters to San Antonio when there was that Ebola outbreak in the Congo. All of the African migrants were flooding our borders at that point, too. And they're being bused into our cities in the middle of Texas. By who? What for?
And then they just, it's catch and release, and they let them go.
Well, and we pay for them to go to the rest of the country in parts unknown. Small little cities, just like what's going on in Europe. It's going on here. Yeah. It's a takeover. It's an invasion.
Well, I had fun, man. I'm going to go pick up my truck. I got rear-ended by an illegal.
There you go.
And my truck's been in the shop, but I'm going to pick it up, and then I'm going to pick up a 12-pack of beer. I'm going to listen to some Rolling Stones. I'm going to forget about politics for the weekend and come back and start again Monday. But I hope you all have a blessed weekend. It's been fun. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you.
Love you, Savannah.
Thank you, McBreen, for coming on with us. Always a pleasure. And again, folks, Van.Video, Darren McBreen.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
This is like pin the tail on your favorite impeachment theory, because they don't have evidence for any one single thing to impeach the president for. I yield back.
Watching the impeachment debate is like watching a psych ward doctor argue with the institutionalized.
I took theater and drama when I was in college, one course. And I was told the first thing you have to do is have the willing suspension of disbelief.
Let me remind you of a statement that Dr. Fiona Hill made in her opening statement, and her extraordinary, powerful opening statement and credible testimony before this Congress. She said, and I quote, if the president or anyone else impedes or subverts the national security of the United States in order to further a domestic, political, or personal interest, that is more than worthy of your attention.
The debate to formally introduce two articles of impeachment was every bit the clown show any average American came to expect after 3 years of burnout resulting from the Democrats' desperation to manufacture anything they could to oust the anti-globalist rhetoric of populist favorite President Trump, piling on more hubris and hypocrisy.
We are blessed to live in a wonderful free country. An important thing that keeps us free is the Constitution of the United States and the generations of Americans who've defended that Constitution.
All right, folks, you are currently listening to a Bound Report. We actually played this one in the first five for you. It is just an in-depth analysis of just some of those impeachment hearings that went on today, the debate. And we were trying to play a different Bound Report for you.
Well, it's been a week of madness. And,
definitely.
You know, the debates went on. You know, the mock debate, they had to debate it. They had to talk about it. But the debate itself was such an insult if you actually had to watch it. I'm sure a lot of people turned it off. Unlike the IG report that most of the mainstream media didn't play, I think most of the networks were playing the debate. And, you know, I think after both debates, it stacked up to something like 16 hours worth of just constant brainwashing by the Democrats. And the Republicans would rebut with all of this information, whether it was the fact that they brought up, they've been bringing up impeachment long before the phone call to the Ukrainian president, you know, all other kinds of examples, not to mention the IG report, which did show that there was a lot of ill will towards our FISA. And, you know, there are a lot of things behind the scenes going on. We can get into that. But in response, the Democrats would just continue to act like they were the adults in the room. And the longer it went on, the more I just realized that they looked like they were crazy. And because they just kept spitting out the same thing over and over again, thinking that the rest of us, the millions of Americans at home actually continuing to watch this, would actually, it would sink in and we would believe them. But it actually made me, and I'm sure it made everyone else, just angrier the longer you watched it. And so they all had prepared these statements, and each one of their statements, you know, the Republican statement would be, okay, this all happened, and you've abused your power. And the Democrat statement would start with, when I was a little girl, you know, when I was a young man, you know, and it was all about them. And so it was like the doctors looking over the mental patients. And so these two articles of impeachment, the first one, abuse of power, and the second one, obstruction of Congress. And I had heard that somebody went out and asked about, had anyone ever heard of obstruction of Congress? And no one had really heard, you know, what we've never really heard that term before. But if you take the words and you mix them around, what you get is the projection of the Democrats, which is abuse of Congress, which Congress was totally abused, and obstruction of power, the obstruction of Trump's power. And so that's truly what happened. And if we continue down this road where we allow Congress to do whatever they want, then we will reach a point where Congress uses impeachment, it'll just become a part of the way our republic operates.
And we have been playing a lot of those clips just of Jerry Nadler back in the 90s when he would say,
right,
you know, impeachment is the overturning of an American election. It's the overturning of the American people's vote.
It must be bipartisan.
Exactly. And now it's completely changed. Complete opposite.
He's bizarro Nadler. You know, he, you know, they sucked all that weight off of him and I guess took his brain with it. And with Schiff, too, there's a report today on Fox News about how Schiff, when he was first running, had said the same thing about the candidate he was running against. And, you know, and of course, Hillary came out today and said, we must defend our democracy and the painful truth is that the occupant of the Oval Office is waging war against it. She has no idea how angry that makes people. That we're all supposed to accept it because she's Hillary Clinton. Nobody cares. The occupant, defend our democracy, defend our republic. This is a republic, and he is not the occupant of the White House. He's the president of the United States, newly elected. So what's going on, and what I've been thinking about the past few days, and I just want to put a disclaimer out there first, is that I do respect you're a millennial. There, you know, millennial Millie. There are plenty of millennials that work here. God bless you all for being, for caring about your country and looking at your own American citizenship and trying to protect that. Bless you. But what we've got going on is we've got people in Congress that are baby boomers. It's generational. And there are these waves happening. And so right now they're in charge. They're the establishment. But and their children are the millennials. So what we've got going between that, sandwich between that, is my generation, Generation X. And we're in our 40s and getting into our 50s. And eventually we will be the establishment. And I got news. Where's that camera at? I got news for you, baby boomer generation, millennial generation. You have not seen anything yet. You have not seen anything yet because it's coming. Our generation, Alex is just the bull they let out. There's millions of us waiting to get our peace. You have no idea. And that's why they're afraid of people like me. That's why they're shutting down YouTube. That's why they're shutting us all down, because they know that we just believe in America. And we were raised by the greatest generation. We were raised by the brave people that you're excrementing all over right now.
And I was talking to you on break, Bound, and I do a podcast with my grandfather. He's a Vietnam War vet. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to me about the difference in patriotism back then versus now. And I think the draft has a big deal to do with that. Mm-hmm. It's because people had to go and they had to fight for their country. They cared about their country. They had that patriotism. Whereas now you have a bunch of entitled millennials, mm-hmm, who are handed everything, who are being sold socialism, who are being told that the government is going to take care, mm-hmm, of them, and that it's okay to have a big government. That's what's being pushed on us now. And so you're completely right in saying that, you know, in the different generations, especially with millennials, there's that gap and there is that lack of patriotism because of the differences in the way that people have been raised.
Well, in Generation Z, our children, the children of Generation X. So the millennials are sandwiched. And not only that, the millennials, lowest birth rate in 50 years. Mm. So, the strategy here is it's all very similar. You know, things may look ugly, and they are, but it is time to stand up and give them hell because they got nothing. And, you know, just like this impeachment, at the end of the day, McConnell is going to probably acquit Trump. And this will all be over, and then it'll just be a giant investigation into how all this started.
Definitely, and yeah, especially with the IG report dropping too, we're just seeing all of the lies, all of the corruption that the media has been parroting within our own FBI that is all coming to light. And that's just going to continue ahead of 2020.
That's right. Here.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Distraught right after the election, but I'm now actually invigorated by the challenge and our ability to succeed in this challenge. You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
The fools on the Hill actually introduced articles of impeachment. Ultimately, not to impeach a president they hate based on lies, but to impeach the votes of the silent majority of so-called deplorable Americans that voted him in.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors. The first article is for abuse of power.
If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power.
The idea that they're going to change the course of history, that staff is going to interview staff, and then they're going to come out with articles of impeachment. What power do members of Congress who run to represent their districts have that they take it away? The idea that Democrats would control who can ask questions inside a hearing or how the structure would go. That's an embarrassment.
But now those same Democrats face a real investigation laser-focused on their coup, as the hope of a nation hangs on the findings of Attorney General Barr and his bulldog investigator John Durham, fueled by Providence.
I think the heart of the IG's report really focused on how the investigation was conducted once it got going, and that is especially the very serious abuses of FISA that occurred, much of which has been, in my view, not accurately reported by the press over the last day. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time in history that this has been done to a presidential campaign, the use of these counterintelligence techniques against a presidential campaign.
The long-awaited Inspector General report detailing Bill Priestap's opening of the investigation of the Trump campaign, known as Crossfire Hurricane, was largely deemed a dud. But there are plenty of takeaways that suggest that IG Horowitz's report was merely an appetizer and cast a very small net, mainly due to the restrictions of the IG office.
Based on the evidence collected to date, and while our investigation is ongoing, last month we advised the Inspector General that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusion as to predication and how the FBI case was opened.
Horowitz had no access to people at the CIA, Joseph Mifsud, any of those people, to reach the conclusion he did about the basis for the investigation without knowing about Mifsud and all those people, which Durham does. Mm-hmm. Durham felt he had to slap Horowitz right across the face publicly. That's quite embarrassing for Horowitz. That is a rebuke like I have never seen of an inspector general by a United States attorney.
However, the IG report did illuminate on the fact that we still don't know who paid for and directed the spy ring that proceeded and continued throughout the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Exculpatory evidence was also withheld as the Democrats sought the initial FISA warrant, while emails were doctored to prove their fraudulent case to investigate the Trump campaign. The IG report also reveals that the key subsource for the Steele dossier was misquoted and he or she's words were exaggerated. All of these actions reveal bias and abuse of power on its face. Inspector General Horowitz doesn't have the power to investigate the origins and bad actors within the still hidden spy ring. But Attorney General Barr and John Durham can turn over every rock in their purview.
I think when you step back here and say, what was this all based on? It's not sufficient. Remember, there was and never has been any evidence of collusion. And yet this campaign and the president's administration has been dominated by this investigation into what turns out to be completely baseless.
Add to that the discovery that will explode from the upcoming Carter Page lawsuit as the Democrats' day of impeachment meets the full wrath of a nation that has had enough. John Bound reporting.
There was another great John Bound report laying out all of the corruption that has been exposed in our government all week. Not only with Owen Schroyer going.
Right, that was on Monday, wasn't
it? Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that was the beginning of the week.
We're on Friday. Yeah. I mean, it's been expanding from that.
It's been a long week.
Yeah, and you and I were talking during the break too, mm-hmm. and just about the our corrupt government and how President Trump sees this corruption as well with
right.
Joe Biden. You
right.
wanted to investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And now this turned into a whole entire impeachment show.
Right. Well, they've spun it that that's the only abuse, the allegations of abuse of power is that he did this for his own political campaign, presidential campaign for 2020. When, in fact, if anybody was paying attention, when the whole Hunter Biden thing came up, when the Joe Biden clip, son of a bee, they fired him. the clip from the CFR came out. That was like a month, 2 months before Trump did anything. Mm-hmm. So he was only responding to what was actually happening in this other world, because there are two worlds that exist now. And we were calling for Biden to be investigated, and he was only responding to that. And, you know, it, within the in the documentation, he's saying, you know, do this for he's not saying do this for me or I want this done. He's saying do this for us. Mm-hmm. And so there is no abuse of power. It's only their perspective and the way they see it. And you've got to understand, there are evil, evil people out there. During the impeachment, there were lawyers. It was nothing but lawyers. There were no, they didn't allow the Republicans to have anybody come in and actually explain to us what happened, because they didn't want to dig into this Biden stuff or anything mm-hmm. else that I just showed in that report. So they had one lawyer, this really evil lawyer from Wall Street, who gets questioned by the GOP and then turns around and goes up and questions the GOP witness. That was insane. That's never been done before. And it just goes to show you just how dishonest and evil these people are, and they will do anything they can to get what they want, which is what we have, which is our American citizenship. They want globalism. They want a piece of what they've been promised behind the scenes, and it's not pretty. And they've all been compromised. We see that through Epstein. And it's just the further you go down in the rabbit hole, you know, it's a dirty rabbit hole, the worse it gets.
And of course, too, just watching this, I was telling you that this is the first time I've really watched these impeachment hearings, and I paid attention to it because I had to be on air this week. So I figured
I don't see how you could do it all at the same time.
Yeah, maybe I should pay attention to what's going on here. And of course, all I got out of this is, okay, yes, these are baseless accusations. And most importantly, Congress is abusing their power. Not only that, but all this has done as well as expose the Bidens is expose Hunter Biden, his cocaine problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've heard all about his baby mama, her being a mm-hmm. prostitute. I mean, the Bidens are just being exposed with this now. And I feel like everything that the Democrats do, it's like the
well, who goes after their dead brother's widow?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, that should show you enough right there. And, you know, I've done some investigations, research on Joe Biden. And that is, I mean, there's some esoteric, occultic things with him back in his beginnings that are very, very disturbing. So these people are compromised. They're hollow shells of human beings. You can even get into theories of whether or not they are human beings. I mean, because we're all just Americans, and we're being labeled as, you know, they're trying to label us as this, that, or, you know, whatever. But the thing is, if we got into a true debate with, say, if I had, you know, we bring an Antifa person in here, and we actually, instead of them yelling and crying and calling me names and looking at my white skin, which runs with Filipino blood, thank you very much. you know, a true debate between the facts and the fact that I'm an American against a socialist who's trying to take over this country, it'd be like them bringing a butter knife to a machete.
Definitely. Right. And, you know, we have gone out, and that's why those reports that we do on the street are so effective, because once you go and actually try to talk to these people, that's why they always resort to screaming.
And nobody's doing that.
Exactly. Because they don't have any of their own opinions about these things. It's the media.
Well, and it's all based on everything is based on what everyone else is saying within their echo chamber. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing I heard about the impeachment that people were coming back with, they're angry about Collins' accent, you know, the head of the GOP during the committee. That was their comeback, was they didn't like his southern drawl. And they're just an inch away from saying they don't like it because it sounds racist, you know?
Typical.
You know?
Always diverts back to racism.
Right, because they're racist.
Yep. I mean, and that's so true. Like, the more you go out and talk to these people,
because they're scared and they're stupid,
the more racism comes out. John Bound, thank you so much for joining me.
Chumps.
I really had fun with you.
Thank you very much.
Go follow him on Twitter as well, at John Bound.
Newsbound.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Thank you.
holiday season, just remember that every ending is fitting to himself. You, sir, with enough confidence to try to make a drug deal in Times Square with hundreds of police officers around. Who do you think killed Jenny Kennedy? Hillary Clinton. Was it Queen Elizabeth? Was it Benjamin Netanyahu? Was it ABC News? No cases, no stories. Merry Christmas from InfoWars.com. Christmas season, sharing stories and laughs. Just remember that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide. When you're putting Christmas lights up on your home to show your holiday spirit, remember that Christmas lights and Jeffrey Epstein have one thing in common. They don't hang themselves. Merry Christmas from InfoWars.com. This is a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Who do you think killed Epstein? Sir! You, sir! Who do you think killed Jeffrey Epstein? This individual wants to know who is Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was an industrial-level child sex trafficker who was friends with Bill Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Prince Andrew. And he was also a triple agent working for the FBI, MI6, and the Mossad. So he magically died in a jail cell while on suicide watch. If you believe that. So Jeffrey Epstein allegedly hanged himself with toilet paper while on suicide watch at a jail. All the cameras fell at the same time. The security guards on duty were the normal workers. And we're just supposed to believe that? No, I don't think so. Then ABC News had the Epstein story 2 years ago, and they spiked it to protect Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. How do you like that? Now, Hillary's going to try to come back and run again in 2020, so maybe she had to, give Epstein the old, so that that didn't come back and haunt her, because Bill Clinton should go down to Epstein Island, where all the pedophiles would hang out, and I'll keep it at that, family audience here.
Chris Smith from InfoWars.com. This is a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So while you're gathered with your loved ones over the holiday season, just remember that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide. And when you're putting up your Christmas lights to show your holiday spirit, remember that Christmas lights and Jeffrey Epstein have something in common. They don't hang themselves. Find out more at InfoWars.com. You, sir, in the white hoodie. You, sir, who do you think killed Jeffrey Epstein? No? You think he's alive? Oh, he thinks he's alive. They snuck Epstein out, maybe. And he's going to turn over all the pedophiles. Interesting. What do you think killed him? You don't think he killed himself, though, do you?
No, that's impossible.
This is just a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So while you're gathered with your family and friends over the Christmas season, sharing stories and meals, just remember that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide.
Welcome back. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and you found it, the War Room. Unfortunately, Owen Schroyer is not in studio this week because he has been all across America making headlines. He was in Washington, D.C., disrupting impeachment hearings. He was in Hershey, Pennsylvania at the Trump rally. He was in New York City bullhorning the New York Times. And now he's back in D.C., bullhorning in front of just Congress, everyone there trying to red pill people and stand up against our corrupt government and these impeachment hearings that are trying to take out our duly elected president. Now, folks, I'm about to be joined by Frank Kavanaugh, great guest. He and I are going to be talking about some of today's top news, everything from the UK elections to the John Bowne, Darren McBreen interview we just had. He has some comments on that. But before I do that, I do want to plug, because it's been 2 hours already. This broadcast has just flown by. And I haven't even told you what the special of the day is. I am so sorry, guys. I'm bad. But today's special is 60% off Ultra 12. Now, this is a B12 supplement, and I have tried this myself, and it's great. I really, really like it. It gives me great energy, and it also tastes really good. So 60% off of that. And then remember, folks, that this is our 12 days of Christmas. So not only 60% off Ultra just for today, not just for today, but today. On top of that, you also have 60% off Brainforce, 30% off your Super Blue singles, 50% off Super Blue combo packs, 60% off Knockout, and 60% off Bodies. I cannot tell y'all how much Alex Jones loves his listeners, giving you guys such great deals on things. Not only that, but every single time you order something from us, we're giving you guys a present. With every order, you get 5 free stickers, 10 free stickers on large orders. And then also remember that we do have that sticker pack, $10 for 40 stickers. I don't know about you guys, but it's so hard for me to figure out what I'm going to get for my little brother and my little cousins for Christmas, especially since there's so many of them. What would be better than stickers? Little kids love putting them on their laptops, their guitars, their lockers, everything. And it's a great way to get the word out. InfoWars stickers, go to the store. Grab those, and remember, free shipping, double Patriot points. I cannot push this enough. And remember, folks, if you like seeing me in the chair, if you like seeing all of our great guests like Frank Kavanaugh, who I'm about to bring on, it's all because of you. It's all because of our listeners, because you support us, because you go to InfoWars Store, you take part in our 12 days of Christmas. You're the ones wearing those shirts, getting the message out to everyone in the 3D world. So thank you, of course, to our listeners and viewers. You guys are the best. And now I'm going to pitch it to Frank Kavanaugh, who has a couple of things he wants to say about the Darren McBreen and John Bowne interview. What did you think about it, Frank? And how are you doing today?
I'm good. Happy Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Happy Friday the 13th. You said it's your unofficial birthday.
It is my unofficial birthday. I love the 13th because the 13 colonies, you know, that's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Everyone says 13 is bad, but, you know, a rain cloud's bad unless there's been a drought. So, and I want to congratulate you on a great week, Savannah. It is, and everyone down there, you know, Becca coming on, Greg coming on, John Bowne and Darren McBreen coming on. You've been really good. It's been awesome. It's so cool to watch the growth of. I've watched Alex for 10 years and listened to him. To watch Owen growing and then all you guys growing, it's like the whack-a-mole got hit and. When they hit Alex, 10 more whack-a-mole, 10 more moles jumped up. So I think it's really awesome. It's really awesome. You know,
thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Just had John Bowne on, and what Darren McBreen and John Bowne do, and what Greg Reese does, is so important to the InfoWar. Alex and Owen are they're a very important and effective weapon, which is waking people up. And I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten into political discussions with people and basically woken them up. And then it's like a thing that I've been saying forever. Now that we've got the globalists down, let's not kick them. We can kick them and we can destroy them. But now we need to extend a hand and lift them up.
Right.
And
right.
Bring them back to us and educate them. Mm-hmm. And what those three men do and Kellen McBreen's articles, I have used them so many times to give to my friends and family and be like, this is what's going on. And it's a calm, just straightforward, this is our take on it. Mm-hmm. You know, These are the facts as we see them, and that's really important.
And Frank, I want to say too that I think one of the most effective ways to red pill people is by telling them, hey, go read it yourself, but here's the resource, but do the research yourself and listen to it yourself. Put in that work, because of course you can talk to someone until you're blue in the face, but until they go out and they do that research, they're the ones that are physically seeing that evidence for themselves. They're not always going to believe it. So that is such an effective way as well. You know, share the articles, share the videos, share the broadcast, because like you said too, it's a better way to allow people to take their own opinions from the piece of information that you're providing for them.
Yeah, and it, that's exactly right. And, you know, the thing is that like John was just talking about, and I just did a Full Metal MAGA with Robert Graves and Greg Reese, and we were talking about this, how Antifa is there's way more similarities between who we are and who they are. But they've been the like 10% of their truth has been twisted for them. And when they see us, when they see Owen in a battle tank with a bullhorn in New York City, half the time I think they're jealous because they know they're wrong and they're seeing what they want to be. And if we can then greet them and be like, hey, we are super badass, but we're not mean people. Mm-hmm. We don't hate you. We love you. We're all Americans. We're all in this together. You know, it's very scary what's going on right now. There's never been a time in the world like this. It's historical. History is being written every day. It's very, very scary, but it's very exciting. And I'm happy. I'm very fearful that we could still be pushed to a hot civil war in this country. But I think that the genie is out of the bottle and you cannot put it back in. And the fact that do you remember the thing where they were banning everybody a couple months ago? Maybe it was maybe more like 6 months ago. Learn to code, you know?
Right. I remember that.
Learn to code. Well, if you look at it now, what's InfoWars doing? Who they tried to ban InfoWars for years. They tried to shut InfoWars down. They did every dirty trick in the book. And what is InfoWars doing now? InfoWars is hiring. No one at InfoWars has to go learn how to write code. Mm-hmm. You know, InfoWars is hiring because this is what the American people want. The American people are starving for the truth. They need the truth like water. They haven't had water, and they need the nourishment of the truth. And InfoWars is doing that. And the fact that the guy, the guy who set the whole thing up is like, everyone, go ahead and take it and run with it on your own. That is the true founding fathers kind of stuff. That is, if you look back at the American Revolution and history, there's a man named James Otis or Oates that was in Boston that was very passionate in his speeches in the court. And it very much reminds me of Alex Jones. And another person from the beginning of this country that it reminds me of is John Adams and John Quincy Adams. Because you look what I just watched what Rex did, his new show with Gavin McGinnis. Mm-hmm. And it was irreverent. It was funny. It was awesome.
And it's refreshing to hear that type of rhetoric that, you know, we live in a society now where everyone's so afraid to say what they actually think. They're so afraid to have an opinion that's going to offend. So it is so refreshing to hear an opinion that may offend somebody that might not always be the most popular. That's why it's so refreshing to see Owen Schroyer breaking the rules and disrupting Congress, going into the real world and making it known what the American people actually want to say. And I think we've been so conditioned to be quiet, to sit down, to obey the rules, not to disrupt anyone, not to ever speak back to our politicians. But we need to remember that we have freedom of speech, we have freedom in America, and we need to stand up and we need to exercise that, because this is our country. We need to take it back. We need to be heard, because we, the American people, are what make this country great. Frank, we'll be back on the other side of this short break. Thank you so much for joining me. You're going to be with me for the rest of the hour. Folks, please go to InfoWarsStore.com during this short break and go grab some stickers.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
back to the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, joined for the rest of this hour by my great friend Frank Kavanaugh. Now, in that last segment, we were talking about bringing back America, how Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, many of our great reporters are really inspiring people to get out and take action in the real world. Frank, you were developing on some really great just thoughts there. So keep telling us, you know, I mean, what people need to do to go take action, how people can make a difference in the real world.
I just ran for trustee and I lost, but I ran and I met hundreds of people in my community that I never would have met. I know all the Politico. I'm now on a first name basis with the head of the Republican Party in my county. I know that I've met the head of the state Republican Party. If you're listening to this broadcast and you want to do something, there's all you have to do is right now go on your computer, open up another window, type in Republican Central Committee for whatever county you're in whatever state. It'll come up. You can look up where you live, and there probably isn't even a representative for the Central Committee on it. You need to do it. Getting in people's faces, that's one thing. But becoming the machine, there's an old thing that you can't fight City Hall. And it's horrible for me right now watching all these political and racial attacks happening, because I'm a victim of a racial attack that happened to me when I was 19 years old. And I had two choices. I could either feed the wolf that was hate, or I could feed the wolf that was love. Mm-hmm. And I went down to the City Hall in Cleveland, and we had a sit-in. It was a multicultural, multi-belief demonstration, and I went towards love. And that's what we have to do, is go towards love. And there's a phrase, you can't beat City Hall. Well, that's not true. If you become City Hall, if you actually become the machine, then this would not have happened in the first place. When my grandparents and my great-grandparents, they were involved in politics because it was fun, because they didn't have the majority of their free time sucked away by technology and the media. It was fun for them to be involved in politics. And our country wasn't like this. And the reason that it's become like this is because on a national level, every single one of us is guilty of being a spectator of politics. And I'm not going to shame anyone. I'm going to say it doesn't have to be like that. You can be an actual politico. All you have to do is look up on the internet what the Central Committee is, get contact them, and there probably isn't even someone in your seat, in where your precinct is.
And so, Frank, you know, I do like what you had to say as well about letting love win, choosing love. I sounded like Marianne Williamson there, but just choosing love as opposed to hate. I mean, I don't know if you're watching earlier, but in the first hour, we were playing a lot of clips of students who support President Trump, wear the MAGA hat out. They're being brutally attacked. So especially ahead of 2020, if you are the victim of a political attack, of a racial attack, because you support the president, what advice would you give to people who, I guess, are victims of this, or even scared to support the president outright because of the hatred of the left? What would your advice be to them?
You know, if you're in a situation where there's 5 to 7 people against you, my best advice would be to leave the area as fast as you can. You know, that poor kid, I watched that video, and he had earlier in the day had milk poured on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is definitely, you know, the administration of the school, the bus driver, you know, people not paying attention. But as horrible as it is, that's the truth, and that's what's happening. And it's just coincidentally, 2 days ago, I put a slightly offensive post up about, it was basically a 3-minute clip of all this political violence that Eli's gone through. And he's like, stay strong, patriots. And I put it on my Facebook, and the majority of my Facebook friends are liberals, and they freaked out. And they just said, it's all Republicans. And coincidentally, the next day, this video comes out. And I'm like, what is this? Do you guys? And instead of shaming them, I said, where are your voices condemning this violence? And that's what we need to do to our friends and family over the holidays when we're sitting at dinner. Don't shame them. Be like, what happened to you, man? like Samuel L. Jackson and Jackie Brown to Bobby De Niro. What happened to you, man? Like, what happened to the Democratic Party? Mm-hmm. What happened to Americans?
Right. Americans just loving other Americans. We need to all come together again. That's such a great point that, you know, we become so divided that if you are on the other side of the political spectrum than someone else, there's just this mindset now that you can't come to terms. You can't just be human towards each other and have that sense of compassion when someone's being beat up.
This is where Christians turn the other cheek. Mm. And it's where we have them politically. We have them. We have them down, and we can either put our boot on their neck and crush the globalists, which we will do. But all the innocent followers, our families and friends, people that have been tricked, that have been lied to. Now, if we turn the other cheek, we can recruit them. And that's something that Michael Graves and Greg Reese and I are really talking about, like going to the other side and recruiting them over to Americana, be an American, you know? Do you really not want a wall and no USA at all? That's not what they're about. And what John Baum was just talking about, how if you brought an Antifa member into InfoWars and you sat them down and hung out with them and you weren't yelling and they weren't crying and screaming and you went out to dinner and the next day you guys went out and shot guns, you know, would they be an Antifa anymore? Probably not. And it's just people that have not had the light shown to them as we have. As everyone who works at InfoWars, everyone who I've been talking about, we all see the light. Basically, we all see the truth, as harsh as it is. They all see the truth too, but they're denying it. They're delusional, they're in denial. They're denying it, so we can't beat it out of them.
Right, and I was talking too about how difficult it is for someone who is new to politics to go try to figure out, okay, well, what does President Trump truly stand for? Because even Google suppresses search results and the media has a 90% just a negative rate of reporting on the president. So this is such an important broadcast to get out because, again, we're going to filter through all of that fake news and actually get to the basis of the truth, basically, because, again, it's so hard to filter out everything. If pick a topic, abortion, climate change, Trump being a racist, if you pick any of these topics and you go and Google it, of course, what you're going to be fed is primarily the left-leaning indoctrination of what they want you to see, because, unfortunately, there is bias in our own search engine. We don't even have, like, freedom of thought at this point to do our own research.
You know, a lot of people, when you're talking to them, when people are ignorant of the facts, when they don't know, it seems like they're angry because they're defensive. But a lot of people don't know about the left or the right. They don't even know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's our opportunity to be peaceful and be like, send them a John Bound video. Send them a Greg Reese video, you know, and be like, hey, here's another video. This is what globalism is. And they can't stop us. They're laying people off. InfoWars is hiring. Because
all great tips from Frank Kavanaugh. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break, folks. Stay tuned.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back, y'all. It is Friday the 13th. This is Savannah Hernandez in studio for the last 30 minutes of the broadcast. We made it through the week, y'all, and I am joined by Frank Kavanaugh. Now, I wanted to talk to Frank about this story that came out earlier this week. The Supreme Court has decided to leave a Kentucky abortion ultrasound law in place. Now, this law requires doctors to perform ultrasounds and show and describe fetal images to patients before abortions, as well as play an audible heartbeat of the fetus. Now, I think this is a very, very important win, and I'm glad that this law is going to be staying in place. Of course, it was the ACLU who said it should be discarded because it was an attack on women. Now, I wanted to bring light to this because abortion is being so glorified in our society today. I'm sure you are all familiar with Jamila Jamil. She puts out on her Twitter, "I have loved this week's discussions around abortion. To destigmatize, hypernormalize, and keep this conversation mainstream is the road to us unveiling the misogynist and winning the fight for body autonomy." So there's just a little example of the glorification of abortion there. But Candace Owens decided to put her own two cents in on the conversation and said, "One day you'll forgive yourself for having your baby poisoned, its limbs dismembered, and its skull crushed because you weren't ready to be a parent. Until then, you'll continue to offer the perverted claim that you're fighting for body autonomy." To which Jamila decided to respond that at 6 weeks, a fetus has no limbs. It's a clump of cells, no skull, non-sentient being. She always touts that she had her own abortion and she'll never ever regret making the decision. She has no need to forgive herself for it because it was best for me. It is my body, my life. So I wanted to go ahead and do some of my own research into what a fetus looks like at 6 weeks. Now, I went to several different sources because, of course, folks, I want to make sure that my facts here are accurate. This is from checkpregnancy.com. At 5 weeks, your baby's gastrointestinal tract and sensory organs begin to emerge. The neural tube, brain, spinal cord, and other neural tissues of the central nervous system is well formed. The heart, blood, and blood vessels also begin to develop. Your baby's heart beats 65 times a minute, which answers the question of when does a fetus's heartbeat or heart develop. Let's go to WebMD. Let's look at week 5. One tube is forming, a brain and spinal cord. Okay, so matches up with what we said over here. Tiny buds on either side of the body will grow into arms and legs. So that's at week 5. And also I wanted to look at week 6 because Jamila says at week 6, your fetus has no limbs. It's just a clump of cells. So let's go ahead and go to week 6. What does a fetus look like at week 6? It has human features starting to emerge, including two eyes that come complete with lids. Lungs and digestive system are also starting to branch out, forming the organs that will help your baby breathe and eat in just a few months. But folks, this is just a clump of cells that can be easily removed from your body. And you have no need to worry about murder or killing a child because that's not what this really is. And the reason why I bring up the word murder is because in New York, the story is not on my desk right now. Unfortunately, I've been losing them all week. But a man forced his girlfriend to take the abortion pill. And he's being charged with murder. Let's see if our crew can find that story. But he's being charged with murder for forcing his girlfriend, his pregnant girlfriend, to take an abortion pill, which made her miscarry. Why is she being charged for murder, Frank? Or why is he being charged for murder if this is just a clump of cells?
Exactly. And right there is just another inconsistency and just fallacy of the whole abortion argument where... Is it murder because she wanted to have the baby and he forced her to, or is it not murder because she decided that it's for her body? Well, then how about let's just not have abortion? And, we have to have abortion for rape or incest. Okay. And you're a man. You have no voice. You shouldn't even be talking. Okay. Well, I'm talking for the unborn child. Oh, you can't do that. What? You know, you're spiritual. You know, you're bringing religion into it. You know what? I always say to people that are just so gung-ho abortion, I'm like, how very pagan of you. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, are you into the Vikings? Are you into the Aztecs? You know what they did? They had ritualistic human sacrifice. And that's all that abortion is now in our society. Abortion is human sacrifice. And if you tell that to someone, they really probably have never heard someone say that. And they say that's completely crazy. And that stops the argument. Because that's exactly what it is. And what they've done is they've made it slick. They've made it cool. They've made it hip. And Satan, the Luciferian spirit in our world, has made everyone, instead of looking at everyone as part of the same thing, to only look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about InfoWars is that everyone's helping everyone else. And no one's thinking about just themselves.
Well, and Frank, I love what you're saying, too, about just, you know, it being about yourself, because I really feel like that's what abortionists try to push a lot is, okay, the glorification of oneself. Well, think about you. It's my body, my choice. Well, let's even go into that argument. Okay, what about the baby's body? That's the baby's body. So should it be the baby's choice on whether or not they want to live? I mean, we have governors in Virginia who are now pushing, to kill your child post-birth if the baby is born, but you decide, oh, my mental health isn't in the best place. Maybe I don't want a kid after all. Well, you can abort in the third trimester. That's what's being pushed now. And that's the thing that frustrates me the most, too, is the glorification of abortion and the fact that they're lying about what they're really trying to push here. And that is killing children and glorifying this procedure that, again, has put a lot of women's life at risk. We don't see those statistics a lot of the amount of women who leave Planned Parenthood in an ambulance because of a botched abortion.
You know, that's something that someone, we really need those statistics, because mm-hmm. what you have is it's infanticide on an industrial scale. And what happened in the Holocaust is a horrible thing. What's happened in America since Roe v. Wade is infanticide, and millions and millions and millions of people have been killed, not even had the chance to mess up. And we're at a point where we have to, I love what Andrew Tate was saying about tolerance and intolerance, and it's okay to be intolerant. And hearing him say that today, I'm like, that's how that everything's just coming together, because we have to be intolerant of the racial attacks. We have to be intolerant of abortion, but we don't have to be mean. We don't have to be vindictive. We don't have to, even though they've hurt us and we're hurting, we don't have to make them hurt. Mm-hmm. And we need to say the hard truth. Abortion is human sacrifice. Do you like being, I didn't know you're into pedophilia. Wow. You're into do you worship Satan? Wow. So you're like into violence. You're into like beating people up for like, because you don't like their political views. Every single person you talk to on a one-on-one basis is going to say, no way, that's not me. I don't condone that. Well, if you're a leftist or a Democrat, where is your voice condemning the violence? Why aren't you stopping it? You know, there used to be that the right and the Republicans were like the home of the racists. But when I've been with all white people and someone has been racist, other white people shut them down because we don't want to hear that crap. Why is it encouraged on the right?
Right. And I think that violence and racism in 2019 has been redefined. People are trying to say now, oh, well, if you are attacking a Trump supporter, that's good that you're doing that because you're standing up against racism and fascism. They're trying to redefine violence. They're trying to redefine this attack on people. When, again, we're all Americans. Maybe we should come together and have a discussion and talk about our two mindsets, see if we can't reach a middle ground. Maybe someone's mind will get changed, because, again, pushing violence on people and saying that this is okay, it's not good and it's not helping our country. It's just further dividing us even more. And I can't imagine how it's going to be in 2020, because as you and I both know, these impeachment hearings have been going on all week, and all they've done is boost Trump up in the polls in those battleground states. And all of the violence, all the violence is doing is bumping up the support for President Trump even more. So we need to figure out a solution and see if we can't get people to come together. Frank, we're going to take a short break, and then you and I will be here for the last segment of the War Room today. Folks, stay tuned.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Our radio listeners, we just played a clip of Mike Bloomberg supporters dancing to Moves Like Jagger, except they said Moves Like Bloomberg. Now, that clip went viral and a lot of people were making fun of it. And Frank, you and I were talking about not making fun of the left, so I really wasn't going to play this video today. But Nick Ciarelli, who apparently was an intern for Bloomberg and put out this video, well, Team Bloomberg actually responded on Twitter, and they said, to clarify, he is not an intern for our campaign, and he does not have moves like Bloomberg. Nick, apply to work for us here. Then they provided a link. And then he commented, wait, are you firing me? Question mark. And then in response to that, Brad Evans, apparently their social media coordinator, said, this is disgusting. The Bloomberg campaign can find a new social media coordinator because I quit. This is just one of the many examples of abuse on unpaid interns I've heard about. This is no way to run a campaign. Hashtag drop out Bloomberg. So there's an example of how that presidential campaign is going so far. What do you think?
Oh, man, I feel sorry for Mike Bloomberg. But, you know, that it's like how Hunter Biden and Paul Pelosi, that's just how they are. You know, that's how Bloomberg is. That's how the corporate Borg mentality is. Just disposable people. You know, I want you to play that video again. Look at the faces of the people that are in the video dancing. Besides the fact that they're, I'm not going to say anything bad. Those are people that want to have a good time and want to be part of something. And at the heart of it, those are good people. They're good-hearted people. They're just desperately trying to find something that is true. And they've been brainwashed to believe that what we're saying is not true. But if we can reach out to these people on a one-on-one basis, they'll be over with us, because all of us at the end of the day, we want to be part of something good and we want to be happy. And I would never do a dance like that, but you know, I would definitely come down to InfoWars and jam with the Do Band and all those guys, you know,
Do you think if we did an InfoWars dance like that and we were all like coordinated, like it would go viral? Cause what, Pete Buttigieg did one, Kamala Harris had a dance, and now Bloomberg, but unfortunately his dance did not go over as well. And like you said too, I feel bad for these people. Like when I first saw the clip, I was like, okay, it's like these people want us to make fun of them because it is kind of cringy, but at the same time, you're right. At the heart of it, that's their candidate. They want to support him. And this is how they're showing that support. But it is just sad to see that behind this video is just the corruption behind this campaign as well, and just them abusing their poor unpaid interns. And I think that's the beauty of social media in 2019 as well, is we're able to see in live time instantly these campaigns being called out for underpaying their interns, their staffers. I mean, a Kamala Harris staffer also came out too and said that she quit her campaign because she was being underpaid. Bernie Sanders staffers, they were being underpaid as well. And of course, like I said, in real time on social media, we're able to see all of this. And that's one of the greatest things about 2019 too and these presidential campaigns. I think there's been so much unveiled with this, with social media in real time, we're able to see all of this unfold.
Oh yeah. You know, the internet is a double-edged sword for the globalists. They made it to control us. And we're cleaning their clocks with the internet. And you know, when you just played the Buttigieg and the Bloomberg dance, and then now talking about how they're mistreating interns, it all ties together with the whole thing that the globalists are doing. They're running a 1964 playbook, and they need suspended disbelief. And basically, these people are reverting to childhood, where they were in groups and they would have their fun dances with their friends on the playground. Mm-hmm. And everyone that is their underlings that works for them is disposable, and we're going to abuse them and not pay them. And you would never be hosting if you were producing someone's show, you would never host their show for a week. There's no way, because
right,
that would be helping you. But we want to help everybody. And if we can just break that conditioning where we're not supposed to be 40-year-old children, you're not supposed to be playing. I mean, if you play video games, fine. But you're not supposed to do that all the time. You're supposed to be connected with nature. You're supposed to be connected with your family. That's why you're not fulfilled, because you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get off on a jack here. People will love sports because they're vicariously living through the athletes in a battle, which they should be doing. And so It makes me feel like I so do want to make fun of that dance, because it's, you could just make fun of it so easy. But it's like I also feel empathy for the people doing it, and I feel sorry for them. And I'm like, it's your responsibility when you get a little bit of success to start helping other people. And it's your responsibility when you get a little bit of knowledge to start teaching other people.
And Frank, you did make a good point too, that at this organization, we really do elevate people. I went to college with a lot of my friends who went to school for broadcast media, and we talk all the time, and they are just so baffled at the amount of opportunity, the fact that I get paid a living wage working in this industry. And I think that's one of the greatest things here, is that Alex does use his platform to boost up other people. He does use his platform to, and his store, to make sure that he's paying his employees above a minimum wage. You know, we're living good lives. He really cares about us. He cares about people. He cares about even everyone who shops in the store, the viewers and listeners. Like, every single chance he gets, he spoils the listeners rotten with these sales, with free gifts and stickers and everything. And it's just like, you really see that his heart is in the right place, and he's really trying to use his platform to boost out the good message that he knows is going to save America, the message that is going to allow people to live prosperous lives that are ultimately going to be happy and make them feel fulfilled.
Yeah. And you know what, what it is, it's old fashioned Americana. It's, it's good business too. That's a good bit. Alex is a good businessman, because he's not making enemies everywhere he goes. He's making friends, and he's trying to, and that's what Americans did forever. And that's what Americans still do. But globalists don't want to do that, because globalism is a sham, and it's not about everybody in the globe. It's about a small percentage of people who want to, they want to get all the gold and all the rubies, and they want to be the dragon sitting on top of that big pile. And, you know, I don't really think that that's right. I mean, a lot of people would be like, hey, dude, that's free market. They can do that. That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, what Alex is doing, it's good business. It's smart, because he doesn't need to be that dragon sitting on top of all that money. He's doing it the same reason the majority of us are doing it. Mm-hmm. Because me coming on here is, it's dangerous for us to do this. And the reason we're doing it is because we love ourselves, and we love the country and the family and the people that taught us how to love ourselves. And so it's Alex's duty to go out and spread it. And it's my duty to go out and spread it. And Savannah, it's your duty to go out and help others too. And everyone who's listening, it's your duty. And we all know that. And I'm going to hit it again. Everyone listening needs to get on your central committee in your local town, because it's going to be all Republicans anyway. It's not like it's going to be hard to do it. And even if someone's in there, you can volunteer, and it'll be totally rad. I know we're ending up soon, Savannah, and I just want to congratulate you again, man.
Thank you. You are, Frank, you're like one of my biggest supporters, and I appreciate you so much. And I mean, you are just like all of our listeners and viewers too. You guys are just so supportive and sweet. And like, I mean, it's just great to be surrounded by like-minded people too, who again are just trying to push this message of freedom, of free speech, of liberty for everyone. And you know, my favorite thing about working here too is I don't always agree with everyone here. And the great thing about that is we can get on this platform, we can debate, and people love watching it. People support it. People love seeing the First Amendment in action.
You know, when I say that people are, they're dying of thirst, they're starving for this, I'm one of those people. I'm one of the people that's been starving for InfoWars. I found it, luckily, 10 years ago. 20 years ago, when I was in the music industry, there was none of this. You know, behold the pale horse. Like, there were Bill Cooper. There was very few people. And it's so exciting. And it's such a rebirth of America. Alex yelling, America is back. It's the truth.
And definitely, Frank. And I hate to cut you off, because this has been such a great hour. Thank you so much for joining me. Y'all go follow him on Twitter and go to his website, fullmetalmaga.net. If we can pull up his Twitter so I can say the handle real quick. I believe it is at full_metal_maga_. Let's see if we can't pull it up before we go to break here. But folks, make sure you go to InfoWarsStore.com as well to support our broadcast, and go take advantage of those 12 days of Christmas specials. Yep, at full_metal_maga_. Only two underscores there. Folks, go follow him on Twitter. Thank you for sticking with me. Sorry about all of my mess-ups this week, guys, but I appreciate you sticking with me. My name is Savannah Hernandez. It's been a great week.